another. If you love one another, then everyone will know you are my disciples. And this is the whole rabbinic idea, the idiom of saying that we are to copy Jesus. He calls us, his disciples, to follow him, to mimic what he has done. And he gives this command, he says, so that we are like him, but also that everyone will know that we are his disciples. And this is what we're thinking about particularly today, bearing one another's burdens as part of that, what it means to love one another. So if we can pop onto the next slide, please. Here is this new commandment, and we've been particularly asking the question, why should Jesus add a new commandment to his disciples' list of things to be and to do? We've said surely there were enough commandments with the whole of the Torah, our first five books of the Bible. We know that again and again Jesus indicated that the scribes and the Pharisees had burdened people with too many rules and regulations and rituals. So why does Jesus add another commandment? We know that Jesus agreed with the teaching of the day that the two greatest commandments are that we should love God and that we should love neighbour as we love ourselves. There's total agreement on that. And even in the letter to the Galatians, which is all about law and freedom, again is the affirmation that the whole of the teaching of the prophets is summed up in the need to love neighbour. But why Jesus adds this commandment, I hope we have largely answered in the last 3 weeks. So if you've been away on your grandes vacances, then it would be great when Helen posts those, because she's back from grandes vacances. The French call it grandes vacances because it's such a pain to their finances, but so important. You will be able to listen to that. The commandment that Jesus gives is new. It's given specifically to his followers. So if we go around saying to people who don't know Jesus, it might be a nice idea, you should love one another, we mustn't forget the bit is, as I have loved you. I think it's only possible through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, certainly in mine. I can't do it without God's help. And last week we discussed the metaphor of washing one another's feet as a practical example of what it meant to love one another. That's what Jesus had just done. So he took the servant role. He became vulnerable. They became vulnerable. We discussed all of that. And it was a very clear metaphor. What does it mean to love one another as Jesus loves us? It means to wash one another's feet. But also, as we'll see today, it means that we help to lighten the loads one another are actually carrying. So the greatest commandments of loving God and loving neighbour relate to God and neighbour. This is a specific commandment given to the new model community, the new society of God's people through Jesus Christ. We've moved a lot further, come a long way with the Jewish understanding, but a lot further with this understanding of a new society which is ordered by mutual love. That's not just looking for me to be loved, but actually that I will love others within that community as well. So the third slide, mutuality, this idea of loving one another, is incredibly important within a real understanding of the church. All right, and we need to be thinking about what church really is. Mutuality, caring for one another, is just a very key concept in the New Testament. But it's more than that. It's to be our practice, and it's to be all of our vocabulary. And we've discussed in groups what that actually means in practice, some of that. And here it's reiterated in Scripture. For instance, in the New Testament, there's at least a dozen references to loving one another, and Jesus says that's as he has loved us. But also there are these examples which we're all listing here. Praying for one another is part of loving one another. Encouraging and helping one another. Respecting one another. Opening our homes to one another. And bearing one another's burdens. And those are spoken of repeatedly in the Gospels and the letters. these are all mentioned. And today we focus in on this idea of actually bearing one another's burdens or carrying or lightening the load. As we think about loving the world, what I've emphasised in the last few weeks, that we are not just loving those outside our community and calling them to follow Jesus with our words, but we are actually to live out what it means to love one another so that the world may see and believe. So our testimony, our witness, is not just our words. And in fact, I would agree with the human adage that actions often speak louder than words. And nobody is going to listen to our words if our actions don't actually live out what we say. And so the witness, the testimony of the church and how we relate to is all important, it seems to me. Jesus has said that he will build his church. We emphasise, quite rightly, that he will do that often through the teaching of the word. That's why we are all to be taught in it. But what the word teaches is the commands of Jesus, that we are to love one another. And so Jesus builds his church, not just through teaching, but by our loving one another, bearing one another's burdens, washing one another's, praying for one another, encouraging one another, showing hospitality to one another. And it's all mutual. We must stop this prevailing idea that it is just what I receive rather than it's what I receive and I give. And love needs to be mutual. Now, I know there are times when we need to be receiving. I understand that. Okay? But this is about mutual love. And what a changed attitude if there was concerned, churches concerned really about loving one another rather than just receiving love. About praying for one another rather than just feeling that we need to be prayed for. Both things are needed. And the miracle of the church should be that it demonstrates that Jesus changes the hearts and behaviour of people, how we treat one another. And if we do not love one another, then our witness and our testimony is weakened. Here's our burden bearer, just an example of how sometimes it actually feels. And can we have the fourth slide? We've emphasised that love for one another is the hallmark, like the gold mark, the silver mark, whatever, of being an authentic follower of Jesus. And that's quite something to see whether we're really bearing that hallmark. We know that Jesus has demonstrated what love is through the act of foot washing and, of course, supremely in his being our burden bearer upon the cross for the whole world. It is not something that a human being can do to take the burdens of the whole world. And there is just no way. So Jesus was not just fully human as he bore the burdens. This week, as we think about this metaphor of carrying one another's burdens, we see that in Galatians 6, verse 2, we're told this is to do with fulfilling or obeying the law of Christ. So actually helping carry one another's burdens is incredibly important. Loving one another means lightening one another's load, sharing the load, carrying it together. But what does it mean specifically in this case? Because there are different words that are used for burden. Now, burden can just be a real heavy weight. We know that, don't we? Beasts of burden, like donkeys and asses and mules all over the world, are beasts of burden, camels. They're carrying vast amounts. So bearing a burden can mean a very heavy weight pushing in on us. It can mean actually that it drains our resources physically or materially. But how it's being used here, a burden, is actually spiritually. And we need to see the context. And we'll see the context in a minute, that it's to do with when people enter into difficulties and when their lives become a contradiction to their Christian profession, when we slip from the way that the Lord wants us to live. So we've established through these weeks that Jesus gives the command so that we show a distinctive witness to others outside the community, But Jesus also gives the command because we do need intimacy and mutuality and friendship. We do need one another. I say again, some of you, some of us, find it more difficult than others to be involved with one another. Some of you would quite happily maybe hardly ever meet with others. But some of you also can't bear to be on your own. We come all the way along the spectrum, but we were created to need one another. It is not good for us to be on our own all the time. And we need this relationship of mutuality and strength. The emphasis of Jesus, we've been saying, is away from the limitations of our own small family, even if it's a pig family, our small tribe, our small nation. Jesus is talking about this new family without walls, which goes through the globe. The family of Jesus is all those who do the will of God. Jesus made that plain. Your brothers, your sisters, your mothers. And that doesn't detract from our loyalties to our physical organic family. But those who do the will of God are my brothers, my sister, my mother. And here in this chapter, he starts brothers and sisters. You might say to me, oh, well, it says anthropos, it really just says brothers. Well, anthropos just means children of the same womb. So it's quite legitimate here to say brothers and sisters. And then he talks about the family of faith. And he said, do good to all, but especially to those in the family of faith. We do have a special responsibility to brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. So as we're seeking to love the world, loving neighbour, people and planet, we know that springs from God and of ourselves. We know that the Torah, the law of God, is incredibly important because it demonstrates how people live in family and community. And we know Jesus is saying, you need to love one another as I have demonstrated, because most examples of living in community humanly are flawed. In fact, they all will be. But Jesus lives out the law as God intended. Jesus lives out relationship and dependency and mutual love. Jesus, as the supreme burden bearer, bears the world's pain, the punishment for sin. So the psalmist says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you, and he will not let the honest person suffer. Cast your burden on the Lord. And we believe that that's been incarnated in Jesus Christ. But we need to follow that example of Jesus, which is to lighten the burdens of others. And the way we do church is therefore very important, because church for some can become very oppressive, and for others it is a great encouragement. So, the fifth slide. Paul exhorts them to challenge one another when things are going wrong. That's the context. He's not just generally saying, bear one another's burdens so you help one another financially. That comes in another part of the gospel, that's quite right. He's not even just saying, help one another do jobs and lighten their load. That again comes in other parts of the New Testament, that's quite legitimate. But here he's talking about when a challenge is needed, that love comes in. My brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in any kind of wrongdoing, those of you who are spiritual, so presumably it means closer to God, should set him right. But you must do it in a gentle way. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? That part of belonging to church and the people of God actually relates to mutual accountability. And any who are serious about that talk about being a member of a church, because it means that we actually say we will be accountable to one another. And that's not a light thing to do, but it's what every Christian is called into doing. Lighten one another's load. Help one another, especially if we see one another being diverted, going up some sort of blind alley, maybe getting into some relationships which are dodgy. Maybe we see somebody whose business practices are not like Jesus. maybe their bosses and they are not treating their staff correctly or paying them properly. It's meant to be all these very real elements. And I do think in society we should be more concerned about people paying low wages than about the few who fiddle their benefits. It's a bigger problem in this country. When we see one another and things are going wrong, are we prepared to challenge one another, and how do we do it? Paul says that the bearing of one another's burdens, or helping others carry their heavy loads, means we need to have courage to challenge and to be challenged. It's mutual. That we have to be prepared. But if we challenge, we are to do it with gentleness. And also, if we are challenged, we need to think about what our attitude is, how we will think about that. Whoever does the challenging needs to be very careful that they are not tempted, as others are, into any sort of sin. We need, therefore, says Paul, to be very aware of our own behaviour and shortcomings, that not one of us is perfect and not one of us is absolutely righteous in our ways. And there is to be no pride on our part, because anything we are, it is through the grace of God and the goodness of God. But yet it is a part of a living Christian fellowship. But how it is done is incredibly important. As well as helping others carry their burdens, we do need to be aware that we may be challenged. We want to lighten the loads that we are carrying unnecessarily. And many of us are carrying very heavy loads. Warren Wiersbe gives this amazing quote: "We should help each other bear the heavy burdens of life, but there are personal responsibilities that each person must bear for themselves." So, for instance, a neighbour might help you if your car breaks down and you've got to get your kids to a certain place. They can help you lighten a load physically in that sort of way. But you have the responsibilities of being the parent. You can't dump all your responsibilities on everybody else. We each have responsibilities, but there are ways in which we can help one another, particularly if we are veering off the road. In verse 5, Paul acknowledges, and this isn't a contradiction, that we each have our own burdens to bear. And he uses a different word here, and it's like the soldier's pack. You know, a soldier carries everything in the pack, so you've got your rations that you need, your warm clothing, the things to make a bivvy and sleep over, your spade to dig your latrine. Every soldier's pack has these things in. We each have our own responsibilities to carry that we need to carry, but that is actually a different word. So we do have responsibilities, but also we are responsible for one another and how we're walking on the road. So I end with this question: do we accept the gentle challenges of one another as being a part of loving one another? How would we feel? Do we know one another well enough if somebody approached us? They'd have to be a friend, wouldn't they? They'd have to know us. So it's not just somebody that is distant, but do we know one another well enough that we would accept that gentle challenge? Would we feel it's important if we saw a brother and sister that's also struggling and getting into difficulties to challenge them? We might have to think very carefully, mightn't we? To pray about it, maybe talking with somebody else that we trust. Would this be helpful? How can I challenge that person? For instance, try and think of something very practical. Say you knew somebody was getting into real debt. They'd got into, say, payday loans or something like that, and they were getting deeper and deeper. How would we go about trying to help that person if they were getting into real difficulties? Say somebody got into a relationship that was very destructive. Would we be prepared to challenge them? Or we did. Would we listen to somebody else? So do we accept what Paul says? Are we prepared for others to watch our back and for us to watch theirs? Because we're part of the family. This is why some people will not get too involved with church. Because basically, they want to be the king still of their lives. And it's a very interesting issue about what people nowadays will actually join and to whom they will be accountable. It's a very big issue. Have you ever been challenged by a brother and sister in Christ? Hopefully, if so, it was gentle. Have you ever challenged a brother or sister gently? Have you thought about your own behaviour and practices in your work and family life? Because we dare not challenge others unless we've examined our own lives. Do you see what I mean? So that we've got to know if we've got a plank in our own eye before we talk to somebody about the splinter in their eye. So this is a really, it's a demanding process of ourselves being prepared. As we sang, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Unreservedly have your way. So I dare not challenge somebody else, really, unless I've taken time to let the Holy Spirit challenge me. And if I am challenged, I'm likely to be very angry initially. But then we would see how that goes. But think about it. Apparently, part of really the law of Christ, of loving one another, is to do with this. Paul taught the Galatians that this was part of the law of Christ. Indeed, this mutual spiritual care, this watching over one another's souls and bodies, is a way of helping people carry heavy loads. The Pharisees and the scribes heaped great burdens upon people, but Jesus came to give us rest, to wear a light yoke, to cast our burdens upon him, to walk with him. I want to suggest to you that if this happens, then it will strip away hypocrisy in the church. It will help the church stay flexible and young. This mutual challenge stops the church ossifying, that's getting like old bones, arthritic, and becoming like the world, which I do not think is open to challenge. It keeps the church as a living, challenging family that the world sees. They will know we are Christians by our love, and that perhaps is by, here in this case, actually lightening one another's loads. We end with a picture. Could we have that up? Now, you can fault this all the way down the line. It's in some ways sort of sentimental, but I quite liked it. Do you like it, Addy? It's the sort of thing I think you'd like, this one. They're all struggling up the hill, and Jesus is there like a porter, an atoll burden bearer, offering to take people's baggage. Again, I'm back to Pilgrim's Progress. Thy, of course, just means you. It was very informal. It wasn't formal. You know why thy and thou was introduced. It's the informal statement. Cast your burdens upon the Lord. He shall sustain you. He shall never suffer the righteous or the honest to be moved. And we're part of this as well. Now, he carries away the burden of our sin. He's the world's burden bearer. But we can also lighten one another's load by sometimes saying to one another, you're just carrying too much. You're getting encumbered. You're getting into complex situations. You're getting into relationships that are not helpful or whatever. But it is mutual. And if we think it's a good idea to speak to people in this way, we need to be very prepared that they may challenge us. Let's just be still, and then we'll just ask for a few comments or thoughts from those that have heard the talk, if they want to make. So let's just be still. Help to carry one another's burdens, and this way you will obey the law of Christ. If someone thinks he or she is somebody, when really they're nobody, they're only deceiving themselves.